Welcome to the Hammer Time Radio Show on this great Sunday in 2020, as we say. I am Maurice from A. Henny Manshaven. We're transmitting in the A. Henny Manshaven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. It's good to be with you on this great day. It's beautiful outside, sunny. It's nice, as we say, for those that have been around the world in various other areas of living in paradise. It's a great place to live. I've been here for some period of time, and I have enjoyed coming back to Tucson after every excursion I've had outside of the city limits from that standpoint. So the new year is upon us, and with all of its glory and happiness that we have, as well as associating ourselves again with all the electronics and digitization that we need in order to work various aspects of our business at A. Henny Manshaven. Some general information. Our Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That places us six blocks south of 22nd Street. We're the big yellow building on the west side of the street as you head southbound. Actually, even as you head northbound, we are still the big yellow building on the west side of the street. But in that case, it's one block north of 29th Street. Our phone number on location in Tucson is 520-624-7200. Hours of operation are from 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday to 5 p.m. on Monday through Saturday also. Rather unique arrangement. We have a Green Valley location. The address of Green Valley at the northern end of Green Valley is 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. I like to say if you've been down there and you've patronized the Mexican food restaurant known as Manuel's, as you walk out of the front door, if you just keep walking across the street, that's the Calle de las Tiendas, you'll basically walk right into our showroom there in Green Valley. It's the Duval Mine exit roads coming off of I-19 as you head westbound and then immediately pick up the south frontage road or the south driving frontage road on the west side of the this freeway there and go on down to Duval Mine Roads and then turn westbound and pick up Calle de las Tiendas. Phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. Hours of operation are about 8:30 in the morning to about 4 p.m. or so in the afternoon, and that's Monday through Friday only from that standpoint. So give us a jingle in those locations. If everybody is busy in Green Valley, the phone call will automatically transfer to the Tucson location, and we'll be able to hopefully answer the phone and solve all the questions that you may have. Our website is www, and then I'd like to say it's ahandymanshaven.com. I say that because handyman is normally a possessive with the apostrophe S, but since apostrophes are not used in website designations or email designations, it's ahandymanshaven.com. As everything goes, I do express our thanks to those that have come into the Tucson store or Green Valley store and introduced themselves and let me know that they have listened to the radio program. We've had several this week that have said that, and also utilizing our excellent design capabilities and product knowledge in solving many of the dilemmas that you, the listener, may have. But we're always open for all suggestions and ideas that you may come forth with in order that we could present to you the outstanding and the most efficient kitchen that you would like to have. We do have several cabinet companies that we work with, about five, so to speak, at various price ranges. We do like to start with the most affordable line. In that way, we can tell you what the minimum cost is going to be for your efficient kitchen that you would like to have, as we say you walk through the door. That'll include all the moldings, the trims, all the cabinetry that you want, any modifications that you want associated to your kitchen, all the inserts and things of that nature. So as you walk through the door, you could get a price, and that would be our minimum price for your product. My thanks to those that have visited us, and also my thanks to all those that have phoned us this past week and asked for various questions concerning things that they are concerned with. One of the things that's occurring, and it did occur on Friday as we get our deliveries of selected glass that customers ask for. We can load glass into all cabinet doors. We can load glass into your household doors that you may want, the front doors or the individual doors throughout your rooms. You may want to have certain specific types of glass. We can tailor-make that for whatever that you would like to have. We have 20 or 30 different types of glass arrangements that are available. So any cabinet door that you have, even your existing cabinets, and I'll talk a little bit about more of that shortly. We can modify household doors to put glass in them, either special glass that you may like, or we can use many of the glasses that come from the fabricating facility already in the doors and ready to go. That's normally a little more economical than what we may be able to do, because we may have to cut the opening for your glass as well as insert the glass and order the glass and then glaze it in. That's so it would work in the request that you would happen to have. Recently, one of the things that we've been working on is that a customer requested a double door system with glass, by the way, and they wanted to have what we call a 10-light system that looks like 10 individual panes of glass. And with the exterior molding system that the glass is held onto, we can surely provide that. But they had a 48-inch opening, and they wanted a double door system, a twin door system that would work in that case. And they were mainly looking for some sound suppression in order that where one area was an office and then the other area is the rest of the part of the home. And so the difficulty with that system was that normally when you want a frame around a double door system, it would require almost 52 inches of rough opening in width, that's left to right, and then in height it would require 2 inches more in order to get the frame system in. But it turns out, in understanding the construction of their walls, obviously being that it's an interior wall, rarely do we see brick block interior walls or adobe walls anymore. They're normally wood studded walls, either 2x4 walls or 2x6 walls. So we were able to design a system using doors uncut to this extent. We were using the frame of the studs themselves as the frame of the door. And that's a technique that was employed back in the 1900s. I have a house that does not have a pre-hung system as we know it today, but all the studs were prime selected, and they became the frame of the door. And nobody could really tell that it's not a pre-hung system because it's so well designed with the wall structure and everything else. I know we're upon our first break here, but I'm going to finish this comment and then we'll get into the break itself. So along with that, we could eliminate the big spacing that we need between the double-hung door systems. That would be the locking system. We're going to use ball catches on the top and with just dummy handles on the inside or outside, whatever the customer would like to have. And with that being in mind, we can minimize the amount of space that we need and use the 48-inch opening. Worst comes to worst, we could take off a half inch of drywall, and that would give us 48.5 inches, which surely should accommodate the doors. The doors are hung independently by the installer, and there's many installers that would really prefer that because then they can do all the cutting for the hinge placements and all the cutting for whatever else may need to be accomplished, especially if they're going to use a latching system of some sort. And if you want to lock the doors and you're on the inside, you can use a surface-mounted locking system that would be very apropos for handling the system itself. So these are some of the things that we can accomplish at A Handyman's Haven and get this set up for you when you come in with the ideas that you're looking for, because we do have a tremendous amount of knowledge with our mill shop manager as well as the general manager and myself that's involved, who have been involved in construction for a long period of time. Well, we completed the first part of the break already in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio, transmitting on AM 1030 with your trusted local news and talk, and we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to the Hammer Time radio show, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, the voice with your trusted local news and talk. And I see we have a caller that's interested in some questions. And welcome, Gordon, to the show. And how may I assist you today?
I was wondering, do you make doggy doors for sliding glass doors?
I do not make doggy doors. There are companies that will provide the doggy door from that standpoint. It's a sliding glass door. Doggy door is normally a door that would reduce the sliding capability of the door as far as the opening. It is a full width type of, full height type door system. If you wanted a doggy door directly into the fixed pane of a sliding glass door, that would have to come about on behalf of a glass company in Tucson that could provide you that glass pane for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. I appreciate that phone call. That opens up a line for someone else to have a live line on Hammer Time radio show with a question such as Gordon has. Doggy doors like that, the easiest way to do that and the least costly one would be to buy one of these mechanisms that is the width of what you need to handle the dog, and then it does reduce the opening of the, like I mentioned in the discussion, the opening of the sliding capability or the closing capability of the door. So it would be on the opening or the sliding side, normally up against the wall where the door would slide into it in order to close it. The other way that you could put a type of door in is that you can cut a hole in your wall structure going from the inside to the outside, put a doggy door system in there, and that would not impinge anything upon the sliding glass door. So that's another way of accomplishing that without trying to redo the entire opening and widening it out to accommodate whatever takes place. Gordon's request was the first that I've had to cut a hole within the fixed pane of the glass nature of a sliding door, but that would have to be accomplished by a major glass company. That glass would have to be tempered. So the slot would have to be covered, be cut ahead of time, and then the door would have to be shipped out to a tempering company in order to get it tempered, because all glass in doors from that nature need to be tempered. That's so in case somebody bangs into them or walks through it or whatever it may happen to be, it turns into popcorn and falls all over the floor. And you got a nice sweeping arrangement in order to clean up the mess that you have. I have been holding a pane of glass like that, and all of a sudden there's two pieces of glass in my fingers, one in her left hand and one in her right hand, and the rest of it's all over the floor. So one needs to be careful with tempered glass and maneuvering it around. But can it be done? Yes. Do I know anybody that would do that? Not on the surface. I would have to inquire to see if our glass company would be able to cut that and get it taken care of. And then the question would be shipping it in from that standpoint. So keep that in mind. Great question in order to solve the doggy door situation. One of the other things we've been working on at the store is that a customer requested that the opening that they had for their microwave, this is the vertical part of the opening. Their microwave is not sitting over the top of the stove. It's off to the side someplace where one person could work the microwave and the other person could work the stove, which is the most desirable place to put a microwave. Anyway, the opening was too high in height for them. It was about 16 inches, 18 inches high for the opening, and they did not want to waste all that space with nothing to be accomplished above it. So they asked us to cut the cabinet down 6 inches in height. We'll take it out of the bottom of the cabinet where the microwave sits and reset the bottom floor of the cabinet and put the whole system back together then for them. So that's another capability that we have at our store, is knowing how to reconstruct a cabinet in order to provide the customer with the request that they may happen to have on their cabinetry. So we can reduce the height of any cabinet, and many times we can even handle the ones that have doors, depending upon how that's all taken care of. I see we have another phone call, and Charles, welcome to the Hammer Time Radio Show. How may I assist you today?
I was thinking the glass company you might want to call is Hartman Glass, and they're 903-0766. I don't know if they can cut a doggy door into an existing panel, but they might be able to make you one, you know, with one panel, you know, two different length pieces of glass laid in together and sealed together. Because I don't know that you, I doubt you can cut an existing piece of glass on a square like that. Maybe I'm wrong. But you could put a new door in with one short piece and one long piece of glass, and then put the doggy door at the bottom of the short piece.
You know, that is a great suggestion. The first part of your statement about cutting a piece of glass that's in a door system, the answer would be no. You cannot cut tempered glass in with anything that's going to be worthwhile in order to accomplish that. But your idea of splitting the panes and putting two brand new pieces of glass in there, you can surely accomplish it that way. But again, the glass would have to be tempered, and Hartman would be able to send it out and get it tempered also.
I have another suggestion of how you might create a doggy door, and that is have either your wife or teach your teenage daughter in driving how to drive the car into the backyard, and then show them how to do a three-point turn. And at some point, you'll have a new opening in the house, and you can just install a doggy door instead of fixing it.
Yeah, that's true. That's another way of doing that. You know, it reminds me of a show I saw on television the other day that somebody recognized that somebody was tailing them. So they did a complete U-turn in the middle of the highway, and then U-turned again and came right up behind the car. It sort of reminds me of an aircraft maneuver we used to do in aerial combat maneuvering that you're able to do with an airplane. You can take the guy behind you and shove him out front and then address the issue rather rapidly. Of course, in a fighter aircraft, you shoot him down, but when you got an automobile to do it, I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to try that one of these days and see how it works out. And she didn't look at me very well. So
I find that wives are somewhat insulated against the concept of doing a loop in an automobile. But, you know, your mileage may vary, as they say on the Internet. All right, have a great day.
Okay, you too. I appreciate the phone call, Charles. Thank you for the information. Yes, Gordon, if you're still listening, that would be another way of doing it in the fixed pane of the sliding glass window, and that would not reduce your width of your sliding glass door in any case at all. You'd have to double pane that. They'd have to send it out to get it tempered, and then you can come back in and reinstall the whole thing with maybe a metal bar in the center to hold both panes of glass together. So good ideas. Appreciate the comments concerning that. There's always another way, another avenue of doing things from that standpoint. So we just talked a little bit about cutting cabinets down in height in order to provide the customer with their basic desires that they're looking for from that standpoint. That's one thing to remember, folks, with us at A Handyman's Haven. We do have a mill shop that can do a lot of things. All we need to know is your request and figure out how to accomplish it. And we like to use the slogan, we can do it for you. Another request we had is a customer came in and they were getting tired, getting on their hands and knees in some of their cabinetry. Their base cabinet happened to have a full-depth shelf halfway up. And the customer could not see in the back of the cabinetry, even with the flashlight at nighttime. Getting on your hands and knees requires a lot of bending to get down there, and they were interested in roll-out trays. The rollout tray would be a shelf, so to speak, depending upon the height you'd want the side panels of the shelf. That would move in and out, and so we can accomplish things of that nature. We can set that up with the equipment, and you can install it yourself. All we need to know is the specific dimensions and what you're trying to accomplish. The other thing that normally occurs with a rollout tray like that is that we can make those in a standard base cabinet, which is 24 inches from front to back, or deep, as we say. And we can make the tray 22 inches deep. Most trays are about 19 inches because those are the same rollout trays that they use in the kitchen cabinets that they can use in the vanity cabinets, which are typically only 21 inches deep. So those are things that can be accomplished. Well, we completed the second segment of the Hammer Time radio show in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time radio show, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Yes, I am Maurice from A. Handyman's Haven. We have two stores, one in the Green Valley area, which is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas at Suite 103 Alpha, exit off of the I-19 interstate on the Duval Mine Roads. Immediately get into the left-hand lanes and pick the frontage road up and head south down to Calle de las Tiendas. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. Our Tucson store is located at 1724 South 6th Avenue. It's between 27th and 28th Street, the big yellow building on the west side of the street. The phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200. We've been talking about a lot of activities at A. Handyman's Haven these past 3 days, coming off of our holiday break. That's a Christmas and New Year's. One of the other things of a customer requesting was rollout trays. We can get you built rollout trays for whatever items that you'd like to have. But in any cabinet in your existing homes, as an example, we can refit your cabinetry with rollout trays, be there in pantries, linen closets, base cabinets, etc. All we need to know is some dimensions, so you can give us a call on what is required and what you're looking for. We can put full extension glides on those rollout trays. We can also put soft close systems on them, and that would get rid of the hand and knee operation for those cabinets that would require you getting on your hands and knees and a flashlight at nighttime to see what you have there. We can equip the doors of your kitchen cabinets or any cabinets as far as that goes with soft close hinging. We can also equip drawers. We have the parts that we can sell you this, and that's what I mean equip in that case. So with your existing drawers and drawer systems, we can set you up with the implements that you need for soft closing. We can produce for you new drawer boxes. They can be made out of a Baltic plywood. They would be coated with a UV coating in order to keep them very pristine. Or we can use several hardwoods that are available in order to create the drawer boxes for you. We can also do push-button open and closing systems. And what I mean by that is that you do not need to have handles and knobs on your cabinetry. Of course, if you already have them, then you're going to have to plug the holes or put some ornament to cover up the holes that are there. You can also plug them with some Bondo and then use some stain matching techniques and get the stains to work rather well. But this is just where you push the drawer or the door, so to speak, and it pops open about a half inch or so. And then you can, when you get ready to close it, you close it and you push it again and it stays closed. So you can do that with a magnetic system, as well as a push-button type system that's hidden within the cabinetry itself. We do have magnetic locks. Let's say you want to prevent a youngster or whatever it may happen to be entering into certain cabinetry. These are very easy to install. And you can take the reverse polarity of the magnet and hide that someplace where the adults are the only one that knows where they are, medicine cabinets, things of that nature. And you take the magnet and you put it up against the position of where the latch is on the inside that releases a latch due to the reverse polarity of the magnets themselves, and the door you can open up right away, or the drawer. So that's another item that we can do retroactively, so to speak, with all the cabinets that you have installed in your home. We did this on one job several years ago. The customer wanted to prevent the youngsters in the house from getting a hold of their alcohol bottles. And so we designed several pullouts that would hold the alcohol bottles in the tray system. And then the doors were all controlled by these magnetic latches that are available. The other thing that I talked about a little bit earlier when we were talking about the glass is that if you'd like to have glass in any of your cabinet doors that you have or anything else that you may have around your house, bring it down to the store. We'll remove the wood panel that's in there. We'll router what we call a routering, which is a technique with a special instrument called a router, a special machine, so to speak, and present the area that we need to hold the glass in position, order the glass that you're requesting, and then we can glaze that in for you. So again, folks, we can do it. Just bring it down, ask us what it is, and we'll figure out how to accomplish it for you. And then we can give you the illustrious price that is associated with customization of various aspects. Most of these things require recognizing what can be done. And the other thing is how much labor are we going to have to invest in providing this for you? We can tell you what needs to be done, and you can provide the labor yourself, or you can hire whoever else that you would like to have to accomplish these aspects. One thing we've noticed over the years, that in household doors, as an example, most installers that install doors, which are just doors themselves, like to position the hinges themselves, and therefore they know the exactness that they're going to need. It's not that we can't do it for them, but they just feel more confident in doing that, because if anything goes wrong, then there's too many people involved in trying to solve your problem. Same thing with the latch, the bore that you may need for your latching system, that they like to cut that latch hole, even though it requires almost three different applications of techniques. The boring for the latch itself, I shouldn't say the latch, but the handle. And then the latch needs to have a hole bored. And then the resetting the plate for that, as well as matching it up with the strike plate area that's in the frame. So lots of ways of doing these things, and we can get that set up for you. We are still involved, like I've mentioned in the past, with a lot of countertop manufacturing, and we did pick up a couple other jobs this past week in building countertops for a customer without having the 45 degrees or the splice seam area in various locations. We can provide you 10 feet of laminate countertop with an integrated backsplash for $90. That's $9 a linear foot. Your backsplash could already be established on the countertop. All that needs to be done then is on your free ends to install the protection, which we call end capping, with another piece of laminate. We can do that in-house for you, or we can provide you with the materials and you can do that yourself. So we have this dual application that as a DIYer or a do-it-yourselfer, you can buy the materials from us and take it home and do it, or you can have us do it for a little bit of a labor charge. All straight cuts on our laminate are complimentary. So as an example, if you have a 10-foot top and you want some 10 one-foot pieces, we can cut that for you right out of our system and set that up for you for whatever you want. Miters and splice cuts are $35 for us to cut that. As most people know, that's normally two cuts on a big saw. We have a 16-inch bladed saw on a 5-foot track to cut all this type of equipment. And then we cut the bolt holes for you, which are 8 bolt holes, and then provide you with the 4 bolts, and all that's for $35. Pretty economical from that standpoint. So we can cut and prep your countertop for you, so all you have to do is take it home and install it. And then if things start going awry, you can give us a phone call, and we'll try to help you with what you may need to do to solve the thing that you have. Lots of things going on from that standpoint. We did have a customer come in this past week, and I do want to emphasize this, that she was very astute in what she wanted in her kitchen, which is excellent. The other interesting thing is she's one of the few customers that have come in and knows where she wants to put everything and what type of equipment that she would like to have in order to easily access what she needs for cooking and prepping and so on and so forth. And we've only had about less than a half a dozen cooks that come in and have requested something of that nature. Most people, unfortunately, come in and say, well, I don't know what I'm going to put in it. Yeah, I'm going to put dishes and I'm going to put this and so on and so forth. And one thing that this customer did recognize that in the wall cabinets, the difficulty that she has is that the plates that they purchased are too big for the wall cabinets, and they can't close the door on the wall cabinet. And I do have to admit that I experienced this in my own home. I came home one day, and I noticed that the cabinets that held the dinner plates was open. I tried to close it, and it wouldn't close because the dishes were in the way. So your 12-inch cabinet that we normally equip the upper cabinets for in the kitchen in order to handle dishes and various aspects of that nature, one needs to be careful that the inside dimension is not 12 inches. We only talk about the outside dimensions of our cabinetry. And so a 12-inch deep cabinet means that the inside is about an inch and a quarter less. It's 3/4 for the face frame, and then a half inch in the back. It could be a little bit more, and that in itself is an inch and a quarter less. So the inside dimension is going to be about 10 3/4. So if you buy 11-inch plate, guess what, folks? Your cabinet door may not close. In my case, I let that go for about 3 years, and I came home one day with the idea that, okay, now's the time I'm going to move the doors, and we'll get these doors to close because I did have some extra space. And lo and behold, I noticed that the upper cabinet doors were closed. And so I sort of laughed and chuckled, and I asked my wife, did we get some new dinner plates? She says, yeah, I got new dinner plates. I says, well, great. Then I don't have to move the doors. So it even happens to us people who are professionals in this case. So keep that in mind. We can lengthen all, or deepen, I should say, all upper cabinets. We can do that locally. In a couple of companies, we can also do it with them, which is a lot easier and a lot of times a little less expensive in order to accomplish. Well, folks, this show is really moving along today. It's been very enjoyable talk to you. We've completed our third segment on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. And my production engineer, Mr. Ken over there, is biting at the bit to play us the music, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. Transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter into the conversation, we have a few minutes left of today's show. Give us a call here at 520-790-2040, like a couple of listeners have done today. Again, I want to emphasize that I really appreciate those that come to the store and let us know that they listen to the program, and those that have called us this past week and asked various questions on what they're working on. In going through some of the trade magazines, I try to look for new and innovative products that are coming along the line. And one of the big things that's always occur is how people wash dishes in their house. And I'm an old dishwasher from years past. I can tell you that when I was in high school, when my mom and dad owned a restaurant in Tucson, my main job for room and board, so to speak, while I was in junior high and high school, as we called a pearl diver. And a pearl diver was known to me an individual that washed dishes and so on and so forth. So back then we had a big triple bowl operation, one bowl for washing dishes, the second bowl for rinsing them, and then the third bowl for sanitizing them. And my dad was very, very creative and innovative, and he acquired the big steel milk cans, had them cut down. We put a drain hole in the bottom of them. He tied them into and made his own sink from that standpoint, and that was what we used for that. So I've got a lot of experience. Every night after school, before we closed down the restaurant, I was pearl diving, washing dishes. I'd get up in the morning and I'd clean the restaurant, wipe all the tables down, sweep the floors, wash the floors, and get it ready for my dad when he got up. That was just before I left for school. So that was my introduction into some of the participations in a family type operation. But speaking of washing dishes, I came across this in a magazine. It's a triple bowl sink, which appears to be that way. I assume it's a little bit wider than normal, though I could not find the dimensions of it from that standpoint. But one bowl is a typical bowl that would have the standard-looking drain system on it. The other bowl is a very small bowl that is about the same left or right, I shouldn't say left or right, but front to back dimension of the regular bowl, but it's offset a little bit with a control LED lighting system in the front of it, where it looks like you wash your fruits and vegetables and things of that nature. It has a pull-out section that you can lift the whole thing up and move it to wherever you want to do your prepping. And then the bowl on the right, which is really very interesting, happens to be a dishwasher. So you no longer have to buy a separate unit, so to speak, like we do today, a 24-inch dishwasher, which takes up 24 inches of your base cabinet system. This is integrated right in with the sink in the triple bowl operation. It holds about 5 place settings, so I thought that was pretty interesting of dishes from that standpoint. So you can rinse them if you want in one, just pass them over at the same level and drop them into the dishwasher, close the lid, and have it wash your dishes for you. There is a certain amount of space that's required underneath this dishwasher racking system, because that's where the motor and the sprinkler system, so to speak, or the water dispersion system. And I found this on Pinterest as one location, and it happens to be with the Privia company. That's Priva. So phonetically it's spelled Bravo Romeo India Victor Alpha. It's an in-sync dishwasher, it's called. There's also a foreign entity, Fotil, F-O-T-I-L-E, that also markets this type of a product. Fortil, I guess it would be called. So keep that in mind with some of the new innovations. I have no idea what the cost is. I try to weave through the system. I didn't have enough time to figure out what all that is from that standpoint. Again, we're coming to the end of the show, but if you have any questions, give us a call on 790-2040 from that standpoint, and we'll try to answer your questions for you. The other thing I'm going to bring up is we talked about LED lighting last week, and lighting itself is very, very important. And one thing that was in one of the trade magazines associated with kitchens and cabinetry and et cetera was the smart home operating system. And everybody knows we probably have a smartphone as an example, and that can be pretty much controlled of many of the aspects in your home, whatever that happens to be, with the various apps that you're able to load on. Hopefully all the Wi-Fi systems work and the clouds don't get in the way, and you're not in a double-wall brick building or whatever it happens to be. But there are several components. So when you're out there maybe building a brand-new home, this may be very difficult to accomplish in an existing home. I'll have to check with a good friend of mine that is an automation specialist, and see what he thinks about this from that standpoint. But there are several levels of smart home fabrication or construction that can take place. And there's level four homes, there's level five homes, there's various areas that you can go to research this information. A lot of times the professionals are certified in smart home construction, and that would surely be someone that I would suggest that you locate. And like I said, I'll try to find someone during this next week when I picked up this trade magazine. So there is a park edge, what's called a, not a park, but a pack edge, certified network administrations. That's Papa Charlie November Alpha. They would have the good working knowledge of networking within your home. I do know that I became associated with this back in the 1900s, that where a cousin of ours was doing this electrically, and he had set up a home in Reno, Nevada. And when the individual got off of the airplane in San Francisco, he called on his telephone home that had intercepted the phone system, and he was able to start up various aspects of his home at that time period as it was wired electrically in order to accomplish all this. Today we do this by Wi-Fi, not necessarily landlines or things of that nature. So there's also a level five smart home system, and that's called predictive proactive automation. And this is very rare in residential at this point in life. This happens to be a 2019 magazine. It's learning the lifestyle and habits that so the system can adjust to what the homeowner's needs are. And as many of you people know, even our smartphones that we use today can indicate some of your needs. And I remember not too long ago that on a Tuesday evening, I normally set alarm to make sure I can get up to attend a meeting that I have in the morning. I have to drive clear across town from west to east. I normally have to be there about 6 o'clock for the start of the meeting. And it was telling me I did not have my alarm set to get up the next morning. So I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. It has recognized that what I do on a required basis on a weekly application. So this is some of the things that can do. So normally speaking, if you're going to use a level four and a level four a smartphone, a smart home system, there is obviously a great labor cost attached to it. The hardware itself could cost somewhere between $7,000 to $10,000 to accommodate everything, and then you have the labor that's attached to that, and that's normally about 20% of the cost of the home. So that can, become $10,000 to $15,000, or if you really decide to spend a little bit more with your labor and hardware, it could run up to 50% of the overall costs, or on somewhere in the vicinity of $25,000 on a level four. So keep that in mind when it comes to designing a smart home for you from that standpoint. So another thing, we just got some short period of time left here, but is bringing the indoors of your home to the outside. You know, the thing that we are blessed here in southern Arizona is really good weather conditions throughout the 365 days. And even though some days may be a little rainy and damp, or in the summertime it may be a little hot, but a good Ramada on the outside of that. But you can develop a good kitchen arrangement on the outside. Many times in the past, the kitchen arrangement was associated with just bringing stuff outside in order to cook on a barbecue of that nature. But anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about this next week, because there are a lot of outside full kitchens that are being established and set up. We do have a person that we work with on a regular basis that can do an excellent job in designing an outside kitchen for you from there. We're coming to the end of the program, folks. On behalf of Maurice and Kent, our production engineer, we got Jeff Prather in the limelight back here, and he's ready to go with some great information for you on the Prather Point. Folks, take care. We'll